Oh, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. So today, I'd like to start off with some questions to think about. In this world that we live in today, do you think we have any distractions or stumbling blocks that could come between us and God? Well, that's an obvious answer, right? I don't think anyone here could argue that there is an overabundance of distractions and stumbling blocks that we could point to. We're constantly bombarded by a satanically influenced culture, full of every sinful and selfish way of life that we could imagine. All not only being practiced all around us, but being praised, worshipped, and celebrated. And even government-enforced laws to uphold and celebrate the sinful lifestyles. Not to mention all the many things that we must do to survive and to make life work. So much to take up our time and energy and divert our focus from what is really important. But we cannot escape that part of life. Satan is in control of this age around us, and we all know that. There will always be plenty of distractions, temptations, and stumbling blocks there to confuse us. We all know that they are there, and it's obvious. The challenge comes and trying to avoid being caught up in them, in the distractions all around us. It's so easy to fall into them, and when they're in the environment all around, it's not easy to live in a world and not be a part of its practices. So if the influence exists, how can we avoid it? Or make it easier on ourselves not to get sucked in? That is the question that I would like to look at today. How can we avoid this influence around us? There's a popular saying that people use to illustrate a good point. It says, "You are what you eat." Or in other words, what you put in your body will reflect who you are. The same goes for your environment around you. Where you are, or where you go, what you do, and who you are with can create either a fruitful environment or a negative one. One with a focus on God or one with a focus on the things of the world. The last thing we would want to do with Satan's influence already around us in the world is to willfully subject ourselves into more of its influence than we already have to. What we put into our life, where we go, what we do, the people we are around, all create a culture that surrounds us and ultimately shapes us by the decisions that we've made. The environment we create for ourselves is key for us to be able to have the right focus in life. It is also vital for those who are around us as well, and those we have influence on. It not only affects us, but our family members, friends, and children. Over in Mark 9, verse 42, Christ gave a stark warning about this idea. Again, that's Mark 9, verse 42. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." As we can see, with all the confusion and deception in this world already, the last thing we want to do is create stumbling blocks for our children or for ourselves. If we are not careful, we can actually create an environment set up for failure. Failure for ourselves and our children. We have the ability to create a fruitful environment, even in a fallen world. He says, if our hand, foot, or eye cause us to sin, to remove them from our life, and we would be better off. no longer getting distracted with those things that can lead us to sin, but removing them and then being able to focus on God's will and have a fruitful life. He wasn't literally talking about removing the hand, eyes, and foot here, but what they can symbolize. Our hands allow us to do things, our feet allows us to go places, and our eyes allow us to see things. They are all choices that we make every day that can form the environment we are putting ourselves into. We can choose what we see, the entertainment we watch on TV or the internet. We can choose where to go, the people that we can choose where we go and the people that we hang out with. And we can choose what we do for work or what we do in our free time. They all shape our environment around us. Depending, some things we choose to do may influence our self-control or take up too much focus and time in our life, leaving out time for learning, growing, and acting out God's will in our life. Things like our friends, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, social media, the news, hobbies, even our jobs, or pursuit of more money, and the list can go on. All of these things shape our environment around us and our family. They can turn into something that is over-prioritized in our life, or can be something that has a negative influence on us, leading us to commit sins. Even if we think, oh, well, we know it's wrong, it won't affect me, over time, that can dull our senses to what is right and what's wrong. Or even worse, make confusion or stumbling blocks for those who are younger and still learning around us. If our senses become dull and indifferent to sin, just conforming to the world around us, what good will we be to anyone else as an example if we act and do as everyone else does? In fact, he addresses this somewhat in the next verse down, or a few verses down in verse 50, saying, "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in your lives, in yourselves, and have peace with one another." So how worthless is salt if it loses its flavor? The same goes for a Christian that has become dull in comparison to their surroundings. We have no impact or positive impression if we do, and act the same as the rest of the world. The need for removing the stumbling blocks in our life is so important for our own spiritual lives and those around us. But it's not something that is easy to do. Change is hard, and it takes faith. We know that when the Holy Spirit in our conscience is telling us something is wrong, it takes faith to then act on that and to make that change in our life. The material things of this world and the acceptance by the world has a very hard pull on our heartstrings. It's hard to take the unpopular opinion and to stand on truth when everyone else is against it. There are things we have to give up in this life and have faith God will replace it with something better. Over in Mark 8, verse 35, again, that's Mark 8, verse 35. It says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." There are unfruitful influences in our life that we need to give up and be replaced with fruitful ones. We need to build a godly environment and sphere of influence to strengthen us and our family, to face Satan's world of influence we see around us every single day. And an excellent example of someone who put their family in a poor position of influence was back in Genesis 12, with Abraham and Lot deciding where to live. Again, that's back in Genesis 12. Sorry. Genesis 12, verse 1 is where it starts. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. We can see here Abram was told by God to leave his family and his home of 75 years at the drop of a hat. So because of his faith in God's promise of something better, he left and brought Lot with him. It's important to remember that when we keep God's commands and commandments and give something up, he will provide something better, if not in this lifetime, then in the next. Like it said back in Mark 8, it says, "For whoever desires to save his life here will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Abraham had to give up the life that he knew for 75 years to wander the landscape, looking for a new place to call home. After some time traveling together, we get down to Genesis 13, where Abraham and Lot decide to part ways, because both of them have grown in wealth so much that they can no longer stay together. In Genesis 13, verse 9, it says, "And the whole land is before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will take the left." Abraham gave Lot the choice of where to go. Having faith, God will provide for him wherever he goes. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan in verse 10. That it was watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. We can see Lot chose the land that looked the best for himself. And he moved all the way to Sodom, a wicked city. Maybe because it was closer to more people and money, we don't really know. But Abraham did something very different in verse 18. Genesis 13, verse 18 says, "Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." So he decided to move into the trees, or more of a wilderness area, and immediately built an altar. We can now see where both these men's priorities were at. One moved to the rich land and city, and the other moved to the wilderness to worship God and become closer to him. They both started out in the same area of land at the same time, but made drastically different decisions in where to live. Now, whether Lot knew the city that he moved to was wicked, it doesn't say. But we do know that he found out when he got there. Actually, in 2 Peter 2, verse 7, again, that's 2 Peter 2, verse 7, it says, "And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." It says he was living there, with his conscience being tormented every day from seeing all the depravity around him. Imagine the toll that would take on you, and especially if you had a young family, as he did. The environment he put himself and his family in, did not serve him well, as we know. He was taken captive once, until he was saved by Abraham and his men. Then later in chapter 19 of Genesis, he tried giving his daughters away to be abused, to try and save himself and his guests sent from God, from sexually depraved men that were in the city. Talk about a poor environment to put yourself into, and your children. And this would be it. This would be just about the worst environment you could think of. Sodom's influence had taken hold of Lot and his family. They didn't want to leave. Back in Genesis 19, verse 15, it says, "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you become consumed in the punishment of the city.' And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city." They had angels set from God to rescue them, and still him and his family lingered around. It says only by God being merciful to him that he was saved. And probably Abraham's plea to God earlier in the chapter for God to spare him and anyone righteous that was left in the city. All of this happened not because of time and chance, but because Lot made a decision to put himself and his family in this environment. It was completely avoidable once he discovered how wicked the environment around him was. But sadly it didn't end there for Lot. As we all know, in verse 17, they were told not to look back, but escape and never come back to the plains, lest they be destroyed with the wicked city. But as we know, Lot's wife looked back, and then as a result, she was turned to a pillar of stone, or a pillar of salt. And as we mentioned earlier, change is hard to make. It takes a lot of faith to cut away the stumbling blocks that we have come so accustomed to in our lives, and move forward with faith for God to provide. The environment they lived in took a terrible toll on the righteous man of Lot and the life of his family. Even later, after fleeing the mountains, his daughters thought it was a good idea to get their father drunk and to sleep with him, to have children, in verse 36, saying, "Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father." You can't help to think, if they were in a different environment growing up in Sodom, with his obsession with sexual sins, that maybe they may have thought twice about tricking their father into sleeping with them. Or if Lot had cut ties with Sodom before all of this happened, he and his family could have been somewhere else in a much better situation, fully intact and prospering for it. It says Lot was a righteous man. He knew right from wrong, just like all of us know right from wrong. But what he failed to do was recognize the obvious stumbling block that was before him and his family, and cut it away. Is there something in your life, or is there something in my life, that has become a stumbling block? Something we have been living with, sucking our attention away from God, or something that is dulling our sensitivity to sin, making us fall? The things we do, the places we go, the things we see and listen to and spend time on. Everything we put into our sphere of influence creates an environment for us and our families. That environment we create is so important for the direction of our lives, the direction of our families and our loved ones, and the direction of our children's lives. We can fill that environment with stumbling blocks, or we can fill that environment with fruitful influence, making us stronger in faith, like Abraham grew to be. So we can face the worldly influence that is around us with confidence and faith, not losing flavor, blending in, but standing out and standing on truth, living it out for others to see and to bring glory to God.